this crazy world we live in, we can have joy, we can have peace, and I praise the Lord for that. So you can, children can be dismissed for, boys already bolted, huh? Oh, no, hey, man, you're good, brother. Hey, you got, you can see better than I can. What's that, really? Uh-oh. So I was just informed by my beautiful wife that Above Rubies is going to be on this same scripture, so... That was not planned, but
so did your wife write this sermon?
It's none of your business, Brother Steve.
Hey,
hey, there's only one woman in my life. Let me take that back. I'm sorry. There's only one lady in my life who has ever helped write a sermon, and legitimately, it was my mother, for real. And technically, I hadn't surrendered the call to preach yet. So, but yeah, I'll never forget the first time I ever really spoke. I mean, for the Lord, I was terrified. And I said, Mom, you got to help me. You got to help me. Because I know my mom is, if you know my mom at all, she loves to speak in front of people and does it all the time. So she, half of it she wrote. Well, probably three quarters of it she wrote. And then I wrote the rest. But I've still got those today. They're just cool. But yeah, no, Carrie. See, Carrie gets her stuff from me, ladies. No, I'm just kidding. No, that's not true. Nope. She, Carrie does it all on her own. She does a wonderful job. So if you've got a copy of God's Word with you tonight, we will be in John chapter 14. John chapter 14. I don't know if you should be scared or excited, but this is all the notes I have for tonight. It's always dangerous. See, I used to think, man, the less notes, the shorter I'm going to be. But no, that just opens the door for more rabbits because there's not as much structure to follow. Although I don't plan on chasing any meaningless rabbits, so you pray for me tonight. So John chapter 14, and I'm going to, and I don't want to mean to break your hearts, but I'm going to read the entire chapter, and then we're going to kind of spot check it tonight as we think about peace. Peace, and what a great chapter for that, where we can be reminded of the peace that we have access to in Christ. So John chapter 14, beginning in verse number 1, the Bible says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know." Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him." Philip saith unto him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us." Jesus saith unto him, "Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments, and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and will come unto him, and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye love me, ye would rejoice, because I said I go unto the Father. For my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord Jesus, for this wonderful opportunity you have given me tonight to open your word, to read from your word, and now, Lord, to expound your word to your people. And I pray, Lord, now that you would cleanse me of sin and empty me of my wretched self and fill me with your spirit. Lord, for without you I can do nothing. That means I can't preach. But Lord, with you, I can do it. And I pray that you would give me the grace to rightly divide your word, anointed by the Holy Spirit. And I know, Lord, then it will not return void. Please speak to us now words that we can cling to in trying days ahead. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we look at John chapter 14, do not fear. I'm not going to deal with every verse tonight. So we're not going to cover 31 verses tonight. John chapter 14 is loaded with truth. There's a lot of things I could hit on tonight. But tonight, as we look at John chapter 14, you see in my title there, I want to focus on peace. Because in the world we live in, that's one thing, at least as we look around, something that's missing. It doesn't look to you and me, as we turn on whatever news station it is that you watch, it doesn't look to us that it doesn't look like there's peace. But we as children of God, whether we're in the United States of America or in the heart of the Ukraine or somewhere else in the world where Christians are being persecuted terribly, we can have peace no matter where we're at or what we're going through. And I want us to be encouraged from the scriptures and to give us something tonight from God's word so that when we do go through hard times, or maybe you're in a hard time right now, you have hard, concrete words from our Heavenly Father that you can cling to and trust and hope in. Because if all you got is an emotional experience, say we had a wonderful church service tonight and God moved in a very miraculous and special way, and then a week from now you're in a hard time, you can't really cling to the emotion of the moment. But you can cling to the Word. Even when emotions and experiences fade away, the scriptures will remain forever. And I want to encourage us from the Word of God and remind us, by God's grace, because of Christ and Christ alone, we can have peace. And we're at perfect peace, which we'll look at in just a few moments. But the first thing I want to point out before we begin to really dig into chapter 14 is the position that the disciples were about to be in. They've been following Jesus for about 3.5 years now. They've been listening to his teaching. They've been watching his miracles. They have walked. They've seen him feed the 5,000. They've seen him calm the storm. But everything is about to change for these men, and I want us to understand that. And in the context we're going to give right now, it's on the backs of that that Jesus gives this word of encouragement. So we see here, as we think about the position, I want to first point out the disciples' desertion of Christ. What I mean by that is, here in just a few chapters, Jesus is going to go pray in the Garden of Gethsemane. And as the Bible talks about in Matthew 26:31, smite the shepherd and the sheep shall be scattered. That was a prophecy saying when Jesus is taken, his disciples would flee. And that's what would happen in the garden, that they would come for Jesus and all the disciples would run. Everything the disciples knew was about to be destroyed, at least on, it looked like to them. Everything was about to change. Everything they had built, everything they had worked for, was about to, at least in their eyes, be torn down. Because at this point, they didn't understand the word that Christ had given to them yet. But they wouldn't understand that until later. So the disciples, the desertion of the disciples, they were about to desert Christ in his moment of need. And to add to that, and really what gives the greatest context to this chapter before us is Peter's denial. Look at chapter 13, verses 37 and 38. See, this is one of a few times in the Bible that I'm not a big fan of the chapter breaks. And I want all of us to know that the chapter breaks are not inspired. They were not in the original text. Now, I thank God for them, because it would be very hard if we had a Bible with no chapters, with no verses. All we had is pages. So I'd say go to, and in the world we live in, we've all got different brands of Bible. They're all King James, but the different brands. Like I've got a Thomas Nelson, and somebody's probably got a Holman. And it would be hard because you couldn't say go to page 510 and go to about 3/4 of the way down the page, and right there's where I'm going to read from. So I thank God they gave us chapter and verse so we can find our spot. It makes it a lot easier for me as a preacher to say go to this chapter, this verse. But I'm not a big fan of the break here, because what we do when we read the Bible, if we're not careful, we'll read a verse or two out of context and not understand everything that's going on around us, and then we don't really grab the true full meaning of what's being said. So we see here Peter's denial, verses 37 and 38. Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Jesus answered him, Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. Jesus just told Peter, you're going to deny me. How heartbroken do you think Peter was when he heard those words? Peter, who swelled up in pride and said, I'll never do that. We talked about that in Sunday school this past Sunday morning. But see, that's why we need to read chapter 14 with those last two verses. Peter is downtrodden, discouraged, maybe even doubting himself. But see, Jesus doesn't leave him hanging there. See, too many times in our Bible reading, we'll read chapter 13, and then we'll pick up chapter 14 a day or two or a week or two later, and we're missing the significance. But he tells Peter, you're going to deny me. But then he says in verse 14, let not your heart be troubled. See, he wants to encourage Peter, because he knows Peter's about to go through a moment of trouble. And that's why I want to set the context here. Now, our world's in turmoil, but we're kind of sheltered right here in Mountain City. But there, as I always say, we're going to have troubles and trials and storms as Christians. I know the war in Ukraine is long, very far away. At least that's how it feels. We may not have a physical war here, but we're going to have troubles and trials. It's going to get worse before the Lord returns, not better. And with all of that coming and impending, we need to be encouraged with this same scripture that Christ was giving to Peter as well. So we see the disciples' desertion, Peter's denial, and then also to top it all off, later on, Jesus was going to die. Christ, their Lord, the one that had walked with for three and a half years, and them in their flesh, when they were focused, with their eyes were looking in, through the flesh, they were thinking of an earthly kingdom that Christ was going to build. And because they were his closest companions, they were going to rule with him. They were thinking of an earthly kingdom that was going to be established, and Christ was going to rule, in which he will. And we're studying that in Revelation, but not at that time. And so everything they knew and they were hoping for was taken out from under them. And there's going to be times in life where that happens to us, where our legs are cut out from under us, out of nowhere, when we weren't ready for it. Maybe things were great, but then out of nowhere, something happens. And Jesus, as he speaks to Peter, these words that we're about to read, he speaks them to us as well. He wants to encourage us as well. Because we may be in a similar trouble or trial someday coming up, and these words can apply to us as well. So I encourage you as I walk through my message now to maybe, if you write in your Bible, to mark up your Bible, to highlight your Bible, or to at least write down on a piece of paper these verses and go back and read them and memorize them and get them, like the Bible says, hide his word in your heart, so that when we get in that troubling time, the Holy Spirit, which we will talk about in a moment, can bring back to your mind the word that you've hid in your heart, and then it can give you the peace we're going to talk about. But if we don't, by the power of the Holy Spirit, hide it in our hearts, and then we get in the heat of battle, the Holy Spirit's digging from an empty barrel. Does that make sense? We got to give him something to bring back to our memory. Just like me with my test back in the day when I was in high school. Miss Priscilla, I'm sorry. I wasn't the greatest student in the world. Or really not even in the medium range. But I guess I assumed that stuff would come back to my mind that I didn't study for. That's not how it works. You can't say, Lord, help me to do good on the test, if you hadn't prepared for the test. And I didn't do that much. There were some times, Miss Priscilla. But hey, I passed. Got that piece of paper. I did. That's all that matters. So we see the position that they were about to be in. And that is why Jesus spoke these words. And if you want to be encouraged more, and I'm not going to deal with it tonight, but read John 17. See, we think that the model prayer, Father, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, we think that is the Lord's Prayer. That's not. That's the model prayer. John 17 is the Lord's Prayer, and in that prayer, did you know, he prays for you and me? Specifically. You read it. It doesn't say Tyler Fenner, but he said, for those that will believe on me by through their words. That's us. And that's more encouragement for us that Jesus, if nobody else is praying for you, Jesus has prayed and is praying for you. He's our advocate with the Father day and night. So that's the position they were about to be in. And that's a position we may about to be in. And we have no idea. We don't see what God sees. But we need to prepare ourselves and cling to the promises we're about to deal with now. So we see the position they were about to be in. But now I want to look at the promises that we can be encouraged by today and that we need to hide in our hearts so that when we're in trouble, we can look to the Word for our peace. So the first promise we see here is that we are promised, as children of God, a place. We're promised a place. Did you know that? Praise God, this life is not it. I thank God for that. This life is not it. If this life was it, the Bible said if we have hope in Christ in this life only, we're above all men most miserable. But this isn't it. We have hope. We have a place that has been promised to us. Look at verses 1 through 4 of chapter 14. Jesus, as he just told Peter, you're going to deny me thrice. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. And you may say, well, what does verse 1 mean there? Up until kind of this point in the Old Testament, they had been believing in Jehovah God, right? That's the God that they knew. But all throughout this chapter, Jesus said, I and my Father are one. So Jesus said, you believed in Jehovah. Now believe in me, believe in Jesus, because Jesus is God. That's what he's saying here. You believe in God, believe also in me, because I and my Father are one, as we see in the verses later on. So he says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And that you is children of God. People that have been saved by his grace, not by our merits or by our works or by saying the right words when we got saved, but by grace through faith alone, plus and minus nothing. And because of that, he has prepared us a place. And when I thought about that, I thought that meant that when I got saved, Jesus started building my mansion. But Jesus knew. No, remember, he dwells in an eternal state of present, right? So he knew. To him, the day of my salvation was right then. So when we see here, I go to prepare a place for you, I believe that means I go to make a way for you to get there. See, in the Old Testament, for the people to be atoned for on the Day of Atonement, the animal had to be killed, and the blood had to be poured on the mercy seat, right? Which was a picture of all of that. That's why the Old Testament is so important to the New Testament. That's why Leviticus, as hard as it is to focus on and read through, it is integral to understanding Hebrews. But see, that all the sacrifices were pointing toward Christ and his ultimate sacrifice. You remember when he told Mary not to touch me because I'm not yet ascended to my Father? He had to take his blood to the mercy seat on the altar in heaven before the Father, and it had to be poured on the mercy seat so that we could enter into heaven. You see, I had one of my Bible college professors, he explained it like this. I'm sure everybody here has heard of D-Day. And I've not researched it as much as I should, but in the past few years, I've really kind of learned a lot more about it. But, man, as bloody and as bad as it was, the ones that were on that beach punctured a hole in, the chink of the armor of the enemy. And because there was a lot of bloodshed and a lot of pain, and it was terrible, but they made a hole in the enemy's armor to make it possible for others to get through and win the war. And you see, that's what Jesus did. He opened the door for us to be able to get to heaven. He says, I'm going to prepare a place for you. I'm going to open the door for you to get there. Jesus did what needed to be done for you and I to get to heaven. And now because of what he did, we get to go there. We get to spend eternity in a place of perfection because Jesus has prepared a place for us. And as we continue to look at that, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whether I go, you know, and the way, you know. I thank God for that place. I thank God we can look on our darkest days when things are rough, we can know this isn't it. Because of what Christ did, he prepared a place for me in heaven. And only on his merits and not my own, and we get to go be with him one day. This life's not it. I thank God for that. We can be encouraged with that. If we've got family members that have died and know the Lord, we can be encouraged that this is not the end. That we'll get to see them again one day because Jesus made a way for us to get there. So we are promised a place. This life is not it. But we're also number two, because we can't be so heavenly minded that we're no earthly good. We've got a job to do. Praise God, we got heaven to look forward to, but we've got something to do now. And if we're not careful, we'll get discouraged as we focus on this life. But God doesn't leave us to fend for ourselves. We've got a paraclete. That means helper. That means comforter. So we see that in this chapter. Jesus didn't save us and leave us hanging. Jesus saved us and gave us a comforter. We see in verses 15 through 18, if ye love me, keep my commandments. And as you see this chapter, did you notice three times, I believe it was, that he said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Now,
If you're not careful, you'll think that's a work-based salvation. But what that is, that's kind of like it talks about in James, that you show your faith by your works. You show your love by your obedience. And then other children, other people that claim to be saved who are not obedient to the word show their true colors. That's all that it means by that. Because if you're saved, if you love God, by God's grace, you will keep His commandments. Not perfectly, because we can't. But the flow of our life, by God's grace, kind of like we talked about in 1 John, verse 16. I will pray the Father, and He shall give you a comforter or helper. That means one to come alongside you, that He may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but ye shall know Him. For He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. So we're promised a paraclete, or a comforter, a helper. You see, remember the goal here is peace. We're getting the path to peace here. We can have peace knowing we have a place that we get to go to. We have access to peace because a helper, a comforter, a paraclete lives within us. We at the moment of our salvation, the Holy Spirit took up residence in us. That's why the Bible says we're a temple of the Holy Ghost. Did you know the Old Testament tabernacle is a picture of us? The presence of God dwelt in the heart of the tabernacle. Where does God's presence dwell now? In the heart of His children. That's why the Bible says we are the temple of God, temple of the Holy Ghost. He lives within us. We have been given a helper, one that will come alongside us and empower us. But as I say so many times, but we've got to surrender. We've got to humble ourselves. He will not force Himself on us. Remember I talked about a few weeks ago, He'll wait patiently. But He's ready, and He's willing, and He's powerful. We've just got to humble ourselves to Him completely, surrender control in a world where all of us, especially us men, we want control. But God says, if you do it in your own power, you're not going to be doing it, so you've got to surrender control to Me. But if we'll do that, He will empower us. So we see we've been promised a place. We've been promised a paraclete, a helper, a comforter. And also, with this comforter, remember, I'm trying to help encourage us and show us how we can have peace. But with this comforter comes a perception, an understanding, an illumination of the Word. Look at verse 23 through 26. The Bible says, Jesus answered and said to him, if a man love Me, he will keep My words. There's the third time that's said. And My Father will love him and will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth Me not keepeth not My sayings, and the word which ye hear is not Mine, but the Father's which sent Me. These things have I spoken unto you, that ye being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in My name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. The Holy Spirit would, the word that Jesus had spoken to them, He had been speaking the word of God to them for 3.5 years. He had told them multiple times that He was going to die, be buried, and rise again. But right now they don't understand that. They're not grabbing a hold of that. But what He's saying is, when the Comforter comes, the word which I've spoken, the Holy Spirit will give you the ability to understand it. And remember what the Bible says in 1 John. We have an unction, an anointing from the Holy One, which means we have the ability to understand what the Bible is saying, what it's meaning when it's saying something. You see, our goal is to have peace in this world of pain and trouble. And we've got a person that lives within us that can illuminate the Word to us. And as He illuminates the Word to us, if we'll let Him, He'll give us the grace to trust it and believe it. And see, that's where the peace comes, because we're trusting God and not us. That's where the peace comes from. That's why the Word of God is so important to our peace. That's why so many Christians don't have peace today. Because they're not in the Word. And if you're not in the Word, the Holy Spirit is not illuminating the Word to you. But as you get in the Word, the Holy Spirit will illuminate the Word to you, give you a perception, the ability to understand it. And that way you can apply it. See, how do we live? We've got to understand the word before we can live it, but we got to get in it before we can know it, before we can live it. So we see he gives us a perception, gives us an understanding, an anointing, an unction. See, those are the promises. We're promised a place, a paraclete, a comforter, and a perception. And we see here, because of that, we see the product of that in verse number 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So we see here, when we cling to the word, we let the Holy Spirit illuminate the word to us and give us the grace to believe it and live it, then we have access to the peace of God that we're promised and we're going to read about here in a few moments, and that's how we can have peace. See, I want to look at this peace that we can have because of that. I want to point out first that it's a perfect peace. It's a complete peace. It's an absolute peace. Look what it says in verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. See, the peace, quote unquote, that the world offers really depends on your circumstances or upon the influences maybe you're adding on your body, maybe a drink or a drug or something like that. It depends on outside circumstances to give that peace to you. And it's fleeting and it can go away. And it's very conditional. But the peace that our Lord offers to us is an absolute, complete, unconditional peace. See, we as children of God, we have access to a peace that we can have on the best day of our life or that we can have in the Ukraine with bombs dropping all around us. We can have peace in our heart because the peace that we're offered from God is not peace that the world offers, but a complete, an absolute, a perfect peace. So we see this is a perfect peace, but also a perplexing peace. Peace. Go with me, please, to Philippians chapter 4. This is my go-to when I talk about the peace that we are offered, the peace that we have access to. And remember, as we're turning there, I'm not talking about the peace with God. We get that when we get saved. We, at that moment, have peace with God that we previously didn't have. But then we also have access to the peace of God. The peace, I guess you could say, that God himself has. That's the peace that we have access to. So Philippians 4, verses 6 through 9. Philippians 4, verses 6 through 9. The Bible says, and you wouldn't know these words existed unless you got in your Bible. See, verses like this is why the devil doesn't want you in this book. This is why he doesn't want you in there, because he knows God's going to give you the key to peace. See, you can worry all you want. Did you know that? You can worry all you want. You have that right. You have that ability. But you want peace, you got to get in here. And let God show you how to have peace. And then he will enable you to have that peace. So you got to get in it before you can read it. You can't, like I always said, you can't just leave a closed Bible, stick it to your forehead, and just assume everything's going to be sucked into your brain. You got to open it, and you got to read it. And when you read it, you get beautiful scriptures like what we read here. Be careful for nothing. That means don't worry about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. God gives us a specific plan or prescription to peace. He says, don't worry about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and supplication, that means get specific with God. See, we pray, we're too vague with God a lot of times, aren't we? I don't know about you, but there have been times I say, Lord, if I've committed any sin, please forgive me. Really? If I've committed any sin? No, it should be, Lord, forgive me for this and for that. God wants us to be specific with him by prayer and supplication. Say, God, this is what I'm worrying about. This situation. This part of my job. this thing or that thing. Say, God, this is what I'm worrying about. But then it also says, it goes on to say, with prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, that means in your prayer, be sure that the bulk of your prayer is loaded with the praise of God, the worship of the Lord. You say, well, I'm in a tough situation. Well, that don't change who God is and how good He is, the thrice holy God that's worthy of our praise, whether we feel like it or not. Our prayer should be filled with praise, whether we feel like it or not. So we've got to pray, get specific with God, but with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. See, that's the prescription God gives us in the Bible. So we get in it, we read it, the Holy Spirit helps us to understand it, and then He'll give us the grace to apply it if we'll let Him. And then when we do that, it says, verse 7, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. Remember, my point was a confusing peace. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We can have a peace that we can't really comprehend. The people in Ukraine should not, the Christians in Ukraine should not, by world standards, have peace right now. But I've heard story after story about people getting saved, families getting married, a mom and dad expecting a child and trusting God as bombs are dropping all around them. You know why? Because they got peace from God, the peace of God that we have access to. God is giving them peace that we have access to no matter what we're going through. And look what it goes on to say. Finally, brethren, verse number 8, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Imagine if we filtered everything that we watch or we listen to through that. It tells us, you want to have peace, here's what you need to think about. And really, I mean, you want to get down nitty gritty, everything mentioned there is just another description of Christ. That's why the Bible says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusted in thee. See, but we got to get in the Bible to let it say this to us. And we got to do it consistently, see, because we're just like the people of Israel. See, you read the Old Testament and you look at them and you're throwing rocks, say, how dare they? God just brought them out of Egypt. God just split the sea for them. God just gave them manna from heaven. God leads them with a fire by night and a cloud by day. And yet they still don't trust God. They forgot what God said. That's just like us, is it not? That's just like us. That's our natural inclination. If we were in their shoes, in their sandals, I guess you could say, that would be us. That's why it's so important that we spend time daily in the Word so that we're constantly reminded. Why do you think there's so many things are repeated in the Bible? Because God knows how forgetful we are, even if we've got a good mind. And I don't. But He knows even if we had the perfect mind, we'd still be forgetful. But we have access to this peace. We've got to get into the Word so the Holy Spirit can expound it, illuminate it, help us to understand it, and then we can apply it. So this peace that we have access to, it's a perfect peace, it's a perplexing peace, and it's a persevering peace. What I mean by that is, go back with me to John 14, a persevering peace. It's a peace that will enable us to press on no matter what we face. Because the word, honestly, and you may say, well, this sounds bad or insensitive, but God, His work, he doesn't want His work to stop in the Ukraine right now. He doesn't. It's not like, well, you guys have a war, you can stop sharing the gospel now. That's not how it works. If we're still drawing breath on planet Earth as children of God, it is a command to us to continue the work. And see, when we have peace, it helps us to persevere. It helps us to continue. So look at verse number 27 again in our passage. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. That word troubled there, let not your heart be troubled, let not your heart be shaken. See, when times of fear, if we're not careful, our heart will be shaken and we will begin to worry and fear and doubt. But when we have peace, we will be fortified. We will stand firm. That's why, like we see in the armor of God, the gospel shoes, stand on the gospel, stand on the word, stand on the rock. You see, when storms come, or in the Ukraine, for example, Christians that are having peace, you know why they have peace? Because they're standing on the rock. They're standing on the word. They're standing on Jesus. They're clinging to what never changes, no matter if our circumstances do, and that's why they have peace. See, we can have peace. We can be fortified. We can keep from letting our heart be troubled. And it says, neither let it be afraid. We can be fearless. We can be bold. Just like the disciples, the apostles in the New Testament. All of them were martyred. But they did it, I believe, with boldness. Not because they were great people, although they were godly people. But God put everything, warts and all, in the Bible. We got to see the good, the bad, and the ugly. But God used them and gave them in their dying hours. They were fearless. They were bold for the cause of Christ because they had peace in their heart, because they were standing on the rock. And see, that's what Jesus has to say to us today. No matter what's coming, we need to let ring in our heart, ring in our ears, let not your heart be troubled. But the only way our heart's not going to be troubled is if we get in here and we allow the Comforter who lives within us to illuminate it to us. And as we understand it, we can cling to it. So that's why so many Christians are afraid and worried, because they don't understand the Scripture, because they haven't let the Holy Spirit illuminate it to them, so now they don't have anything to cling to. So we got to get in it so He can explain it to us, and He can give us the grace to trust it and be obedient to it. We have access to peace, but we can't just sit around and expect it to come. We've got to, by God's grace, allow His word hide in our heart. And as we stand on the rock, which is Christ and His word, and the Holy Spirit will give us peace. That's the promise. He'll do that for us. But that's all I've got tonight. We will close now with a word of prayer. I encourage you, go home, read John 14, study John 14, and just get it memorized, get it ingrained in your brain, get some spiritual muscle memory, good muscle memory. I hated it in baseball. I would practice and I would do it so good in practice, but when you got in the heat of battle and I got in the game, I reverted back to my old ways, and it used to frustrate me so bad. I guess because I didn't put enough practice in. Let's have some good spiritual muscle memory. Learn how to do it right, so in the heat of battle we will respond with the peace of God and we'll honor God. That's what He wants to do. Tribulation is a true test of kind of where you're at spiritually. And sometimes that's why God lets us go through it. But let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord Jesus, for Your word.